swear the council oath. And we would like to thank all of you for your service, which has spread not only through this lifetime, but through many lifetimes as you have journeyed. For every one of you in this room is not only doing a round of incarnations in order to advance your own knowledge of being love, which is what the purpose of incarnation is, to be love. For when you're not on Earth, you know what love is. But until you incarnate on a planet where love is optional, where you can choose to love the unlovable, will you be and experience that love, embody that love? And it is for that purpose that the Source cast all of us off into fragments of its own brilliant consciousness to incarnate on planets in a cycle from infant soul to old soul, then to cycle off and to continue the work influencing the physical plane on the fourth dimension, which is also called the astral, on the fifth dimension, which we also call the causal, on the sixth dimension, which we also call the messianic, and the seventh dimension, which we call the Buddhaic, all the way back into Source. And then when you finish that revolution, you come together again in Oversouls, and we go into another planet, and we start this again. For all of you in this room have a fairly high number of what we would call previous grand cycles relative to the average population here. So that means that not only are your essences interested in its own work of being more love and expanding that through the karma game, through the game of polarity, through the game of opposites being one, but also to train and to hold a light for the others here who are less experienced. So that is what we call the metagame. There is the game, and then there's the metagame. And those of you in the metagame have come with all of your unique gifts, skills, talents, and abilities meant to awaken light at this time, in this place. For this planet is on the brink of a great transformation, which none of you have seen in your cycle so far. Since you first came here, spun as infant souls from the source of all that is, and explored your connection to the One through Devic life, and then through more and more of lessons, building organizations, through your time as baby souls, learning how societies work, playing with orthodox religions and social structures and traditions, then casting that off as young souls to strive in the world, to expand, to create, to be a power in the material world. And in the young soul phase, does the material learning reach its apex? And then moving to the inward expansion of the mature soul who seeks to go back to that sense of connection through relationship, through community, through social justice, wherein, in that mature soul phase, all of the egregious actions of the young soul phase can be balanced out as you understand other perspectives, other ways of being, and internalize that and that internal expansion. And then as old souls, the task becomes to love all. No one cycles off the planet until they learn that lesson, to love all that is, whether you personally like it or not. That's where we get to be transpersonal, where you look around and you see that everybody doing all the things that your human self might judge as stupid or short-sighted or wrong or evil or any of those adjectives that we place in judgment of ourselves and others. It's because each of you have gone down that road, made those errors, and corrected them through the burning of karmic ribbons. Now, as old souls, many of your karmas are what we would call self-karmas, areas where we do not love ourselves. I am not lovable because I don't have a body that matches the current ideal, or I am not lovable because I am a terrible person. Wherever you internalize that, we call this the lie of unworthiness. And as old souls, you work to see the truth of that lie of unworthiness. You learn to accept that the shadow, what you consider and judge in yourself and others as wrong or evil, is that which gives definition to the light. Without that shadow, the light has no meaning. And when you go from light to shadow, into unity, into oneness, into the whole spectrum of beingness, where the wounded child becomes one with the divine and magical child, you can literally create a new world. And if you look around yourself, you know that this world is greatly in need of your service here, more than at any other time. For at this time, planet Earth, which has gone through its cycles of infant, baby, and young soul, is transitioning from a predominantly young soul world, meaning more the souls are young soul than any other soul age, to a mature soul world. Now, the effects of that will be played off in your future, but the crux of that moment is now. Because in 2012, you passed the threshold where there were more mature souls on the planet than any other soul age. At that point, that was the shift which brings you to the parallels you stand in today. Your task, both as individual souls here, moving back to the glory of unity with all that is within yourselves, is radiating that light, that unity, as far as you can. Because then, you have never had in your history a time when it was a predominantly mature soul planet. So all of these ideas of what it's going to be like compared to what it was in your history are invalid. You have never had a time in history where you were on an inward track of expansion rather than an outward track of expansion. You don't know what that's going to look like. You are going to be co-creating it. And the old souls come in with the kind of casual, well, it's all one anyway. Whereas the mature souls get very caught up with the social injustice and economic injustice and political injustice. And these are all things that need to be happening now because the world is calling out for it. The world as you see it is the world that when you were young souls, you helped create. And so now, as old souls, it is your responsibility and your privilege to address the imbalances that you learned, and share that forth with others. And it doesn't have to be with words. In fact, most people will resist words. But if you stand there and radiate that light that is the truth of their being, by being fully connected to your own spirit, you invite their spirit to come and play with you. Even if that is only for a split second, it gives their essence, their soul, an opportunity to break through and have contact with yours. And both of you are changed forever by it. This is how we evolve on the physical plane. Now we are the Council of One, and we exist in what we call the upper causal or the upper fifth dimension. We are an entity put together of all of the healing specialists and all the entities on the fifth dimension. You are an individual soul coming through lifetimes, then on the astral, you continue that work, whatever your specialty is, influencing the physical plane, channeling through people on the physical plane, waiting for the rest of your entity to cycle off. When that happens, the entity moves together to the fifth and becomes one, which is about anywhere from 850 to 1,200 souls individually become fused as one. Now, in that grouping, as we've said, we form a kind of ad hoc entity. In other words, every member of this council is connected to every entity on the fifth dimension because every entity has healing specialists. And specifically what we mean by healing is the bringing of wholeness. And so that can be healing modalities of which we offer certain tools for your use and development. That is also, we are guides to the healers on the upper astral plane. Because all of you may have known that you have guides. You have a primary guide who is with you from your first lifetime to your last and actually helps guide you a little bit through the development on the astral plane that you do once you've cycled off and in between lifetimes and when you're asleep. So we guide the healing guides of the upper astral plane. And so you have a primary guide, and then you will often have secondary guides. And these are not necessarily with you through the whole rotation. They're coming in if you have a special thing you want to work on. Like, let's say you want to work on compassion. You might have a compassion coach that comes and adds to your guiding for a series of lifetimes. There may be an arc or a story that you're following, betrayed or betrayed. You'll have guidance for that. Okay, for any of the different experiences that your soul decides it wants for its enrichment, there is somebody there that can assist you. But then there are your healing guides, and that is a rotating group of healing specialists from the upper dimension that are assigned to help your soul. And it'll be a different group because, again, just like doctors on the physical plane, they do rotations. But you will have a set of core healing guides that really know your body. They're like, they would be like your family doctor on the physical plane. And when we work with you on the physical plane, we go into a synergistic entity with the practitioner, with your healing guides, and with your essence, and all consult as a synergistic entity as to what is the best thing for the subject receiving the healing in that moment. So all of you can call on your healing guides at any time, but given that you're all older souls, your guides, all of your guides, are pretty hands-off. You're an independent study now. You're not an infant soul where they're going to tell you, okay, you've got to incarnate in this body and do that, and kind of guide every little bit of steps for you. Now you're in independent study, which means that your guides will not interfere with you for any reason unless you request it. So it becomes a matter of saying, guides, I need help. We hear this so often, well, why don't they know I need help and just come in and help me? Well, because that would be a violation of free will. It could get in the way of whatever experience you might have that would enrich you. Your essence wants it this way. It's trying to prove its mastery of the physical plane. That said, it will call for guidance at times when it feels it needs it. And your guides under those circumstances might intervene, but for the most part, it's going to require you to call them and even to let them know that you want their input on this. For all they know, you want to chew it over yourself, process it yourself. Another question we often get is, well, I'm in so much pain, why don't my guides just step in and stop it? Well, our perceptions are different from yours. We don't see physically unless we're channeling through a surrogate such as this one. We can then borrow the physical senses of that surrogate and that in order to see what's going on the physical. We know what your nervous system looks like, but what would you say if we told you that the neurons that fire in pain are the same ones that fire for pleasure? How are we supposed to tell unless you let us know? Tell us it hurts. Say, this is really hurting and I want help now. That's really all it takes. And there are those, too, who are going through pain for certain karmic reasons. We would have to say that self-karmas for old souls, such as yourselves, often do manifest as somatizations of physical issues. All soul ages somatize psycho-spiritual issues, but none quite so much as the old soul. It's like, we'll put it in the body and really figure this out, okay? And so you have some sort of affliction or some sort of disturbance in the physical body field. Also, when we perceive you as geometry, light, and color. To us, each and every one of you is a brilliant star, radiant. And with each of your lifetimes, you gain more nuance, more depth. It's like when you're an infant soul, it's almost like a blank slate. And then each of those strokes is added lifetime after lifetime until we can tell how old your soul is just by the complexity of your aura. You've built layers, a patina, over and over through incarnation after incarnation. As you reckon it in your timeline in 1987 in what you call the harmonic convergence, the Dharma Board approved a whole-scale rollout of 5 fifth-dimensional technologies for the assistance of the transition of this planet. And so ever since that time, we, the Council, who've always been indirectly helping all of you through your fourth-dimensional guides, are taking a direct role, and other entities also as well, on the fifth dimension, who are channeling through the Hathors, for instance, and other groups that you may know of, in order to advance one thing and one thing only. all of our messages can be distilled into only one message, and that is, we are one. We are one. And you will see in the ones that hold that 5D teaching, that is what's going to be the underlying theme, even if it is not explicitly stated, it is what's going to be implied by everything that they teach. We are one. You're noticing now polarities showing up in your societies, in your politics, in your economics. It's reaching a maximal polarization before it can merge to a greater unity. And so everything that is happening on your planet is something that all of you, not just in this room, but everyone incarnate on the planet, has collectively put together as part of the experience. So if you want to experience something different on this planet, if a certain threshold number of you reach unification, that unified field will go around the whole planet. And we are not saying that all of a sudden all of your problems will be solved and it will be a beautiful utopia and everything will be perfect. No. But we are saying that the way through the challenges that meet you will become clear. Anytime you choose based on fear, you are going to choose a low probability outcome. Anytime you choose based on what love would do, you will reach the highest probability outcome possible. Well, how do you know what that is when things are so confusing and there's so many different inputs, and especially now with the media and the internet, all these different ideas and opinions to wrestle with? What is it that I feel deep inside is what you ask yourself. Well, to get through that confusion, we have a tool for that. We call it the Unified Field Meditation. And it isn't really a meditation. Like all of the other techniques that we offer, it is a practical means of shifting the energy of your fields. And when the energy of your fields shift, your physical and psycho-spiritual experiences will shift with it. That is law. Consciousness precedes energy, precedes form, always. Always. And so if you shift that form, your experience there in the physical will shift. And we would tell you that in times like these, when there are more than 7 billion of you occupying bodies, and not even counting the cetaceans in the ocean that also have free will, all of the free-willed souls, individuated souls on this planet, are exerting a force collectively. What will that force be? Will it be towards greater fear and exclusion? Or will it be towards a vision of greater love and inclusion? Will you include or exclude? Always a choice on the physical plane. Never a choice where we're at. You can exclude us, but we don't have that option. We know we're one with you. And our evolution is dependent on yours, because all evolution is dependent on the physical plane. Physical plane is the only plane where you have time. You can only measure change in time. That is why so much attention is focused on the physical plane. Even when you cycle off, it's assisting and influencing those still incarnating, because that's part of your future and further evolution until you go back to source, and then it starts all over again on another planet. Because not all souls in the universes choose to individuate and take physical incarnation this way. There are all sorts of different roles, functions, and things to do in the universe. It's an infinite universe. Those of us that decide to do cycles on the physical plane, we are the engines of God's evolution. For we enter the field of time and create change. Now, we'll also say that there are not 7 billion plus souls in the human complement of souls. So what does that tell you? A lot of you are taking multiple incarnations at once right now. Mm-hmm. Especially the younger souls are doing this. Most of you in this room may have 11 or 12. Okay. So you're making a full number complement 12. Because as old souls, those 12 count for 30 of somebody else. Because you're more efficient in how you run your energy, more experienced on the physical plane. So you only really have to take 12. Infant, baby, and young, and mature are going as high as 30 apiece, which is why there's an acceleration that you are seeing in your timeline. So before we go further and talk about more of how you can use these tools in these incredibly changing times, we would like to bring you through the unified field. Mm-hmm. All right, so close your eyes and relax. breathe light into the center of your heart chakra. And feel that light expand in all directions into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart and feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the throat chakra and the solar plexus chakra, allowing your physical bodies to relax and open into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart and feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the brow chakra and the navel chakra, allowing the physical body to relax even more into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the crown chakra and the base chakra, allowing your physical body to relax even more into one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart and feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the alpha chakra, 8 inches above your head and forward, and the omega chakra, 8 inches below your base chakra between your legs, allowing the waves of Metatron to cycle through these points, stabilizing and creating the electromagnetic field in one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart and feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the eighth chakra above your head, about 6 inches, and your upper thighs, allowing the emotional body to merge into the physical body, creating one unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the ninth chakra above your head and your lower thighs, allowing the mental body to merge into the physical in one unified field of light within, through, and around. Breathe light to the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the 10th chakra above your head and your knees, allowing the spiritual body, allowing essence to merge into the center core of your being, creating the unified field. One unified field of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to Encompass the 11th chakra above your head and below your knees, allowing the oversoul from the fifth dimension to merge in to your unified field. One unified field of light within, through, and around the central core of your being. Breathe light to the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the 12th chakra above your head and about mid-calf, allowing the messianic oversoul, the Christ oversoul, to merge into the unified field. A unity of light within, through, and around your body. Breathe light into the center of your heart. Feel that light expand in all directions to encompass the 13th chakra above your head and your ankle. Allowing the I Am, the Buddhaic Oversoul, to merge in to the unified field. I am a unity of light within, through, and around the center of the universe. Breathe the light one more time into the center of your being. Feel that light expand in all directions. Encompass the 14th chakra above your head and down below your feet to the center of the planet, allowing the presence of Source, Shekinah, the Tao, to move through a unity of light, a light that knows its own divinity. I am. And we would like to request that the highest level of spirit appropriate to our collective work tonight come forth through the center of the heart chakra, radiating out into the unified field. And we would ask that each person in this room push your unified field out to gently overlap with the Vesica Pisces, the field of the person next to you on either side, creating a unified field in this room. Aligned in purpose, born in light. There, good. When you walk around in the unified field, every field your field touches will unify spontaneously. May not be able to sustain it, it may be only for a few seconds, but again, for that window of time, their essence, their soul can break through and have contact with yours. Their essence, their soul can break through and have contact with them, with their personality, maybe give them some insight into what they're doing and why. Maybe have them reevaluate what their life is compared to what their essence wanted their life to be. So by walking around in the unified field, you are a literal force for change. And if you practice it, just like with anything practiced, you'll be able to snap into the unified field very quickly. We usually say it takes about 2 weeks of doing the whole version at least once a day to get your fields really practiced at it. A lot of you in this room would probably take less time, and we kind of throw out that period. Certainly after 2 weeks, you would be able to do it. And that means you would just close your eyes, breathe light, and snap the whole thing together very quickly. When enough of you on the planet are unifying your fields and it's touching the field of the person next to you and their field is touching the field of the person next to them, you reach what we call a threshold number, which will then create a unified field around your planet. That is one of the greater goals of the programs that we of the Council of One and many other teaching groups on the fifth dimension are trying to promote. It is the only thing that will thread you through this needle. It is the only thing that will carry you through to a dawn of a new day, to earth as garden, to earth as one. Also, on a practical level, we like you to unify your fields, because when you're, it makes it much easier for your essence, your guides, and anybody else you're working with to have full access to you through the jade pillow at the back of your neck. They can figure out what's going on in your physical body field and all your other fields very easily. When you're contracted, it's very hard to get energy to you. And so if you're stressed and you contract your fields, you could ask us for help, but you won't really receive much of a sense that anything's happening because you're closed off. You have to open your hand, not close the fist. And while contraction is a very natural response to pain, fear, and a lot of other stimuli on the physical plane, you can overcome this by conscious intent. When you feel your fields contracting, you unify and open into it. When you feel fear come up, you unify and let your essence come in and push it right on out of there. Fear is afraid of love. Fear will run away from love. And those aspects that manipulate and control your personalities, distorting your own beautiful essence shining through, are always fear-based. And each one of you will have fixed on a certain way in which that is going to happen. And when that, what we call a chief obstacle, exerts an effect on your personality, distorting the view of essence, the best counter is to bring in essence as best you can, to push through that contraction, to expand your capacity. There are rays that you can use to also promote this. The silver ray of grace is very good at resetting your fields to neutral. If you're in a kind of a karmic interaction with somebody, and by karmic we mean polarity of any kind, all right? The best way to snap out of it is to drop one end out of it. Unify with that person, the polarity drops. And even though you still may not agree, you can at least find alignment on a common purpose. When you have a vision, not everyone is going to agree with how that vision should be accomplished. In fact, you'll probably have as many different opinions about how that should happen as you have people involved in that process. But when you are from the point of unity, you align with each other. We are aligned in this purpose, this vision, and how we get there is immaterial, because this is where we're one. So when you have somebody going out there and telling you, this is the vision, and it's about separation, that's probably not a vision you want to align with. But if you have people going out and saying, this is a vision that we're all one and we're all in this together and we need to work things out, well, that's the love-based choice usually, the inclusive choice. There is no us and them on planet Earth. There's only one of us here. When you drop your body, you are still here at a different vibration level. When we speak of dimensions, they are not places, of course. They are different places on a radio dial, if you will, where that is one spectrum of transmission, but sometimes you're tuned into 92.3 and sometimes you're tuned here. It's a different frequency and vibration of the same basic energy. So in other words, we here on the fifth dimension are still on Earth, but we don't see it the way you do, of course. Just like when you're on the astral, you don't see Earth the way you see it here. And we have to channel through you to know how you experience Earth, because our incarnations are so far behind us that we get it in the Akashic, but we can only get the visceral feel of it through channeling through you. We can only really see because we have all senses up there, and they encompass vision, but not in the way that you might understand it physically. And so we need to borrow your eyes and ears to know what's going on in the planet, what the energies are, what the predominant themes are there. Starting 3 years ago now, you were in the third year of it, from the seventh dimension it was determined that the planet would go through a decade period, 10-year period, where half of the year the planet would be in what we call a chaos node. Mm. A chaos node, first of all, there are many, many parallels to this planet Earth. Every time you choose, you spin off a parallel. In other words, you get to explore everything here. So let's say you came in and you had an agreement to marry a certain person. But then you decide to marry another person. Well, that's fine. But then the parallel is spun off where both are explored. And as you can imagine, with so many free-willed people on the planet, living and dead, there are many, many, many countless parallels of Earth. Now, parallels are always merging and splitting. Some of you are very sensitive to that. But in a chaos node, they are especially intense and numerous. And particularly in this decade of chaos nodes, they are predominantly merging parallels, not splitting, merging. Splits happen in the 6 months between. So you're roughly, for these 10-year period of time, and you're now entering the third year of the chaos node, from the summer solstice to the winter solstice of every year, going to be in a chaos node. We're last year in a chaos node. And we have said before, we will say again, every year will get more intense. Every year will advance your timeline further than the 1 year might indicate, so that things that might have been unthinkable last year are suddenly probable this year. We're seeing some of that start to play out, we think, in your current events. And so, how will you navigate to the parallel that's most pleasing to you? Pretty simple. You unify your fields. Let essence choose for you. And essence will bring you to the highest probability parallel every time. Every time. So why are these parallels merging in? Why for 10 years? Well, for the full answer to that, you'd have to ask our buddies on the 7th. But what we have observed is it is funneling all of the timelines of Earth into a more compressed one. In other words, all of these disparate parallels are coming forth and narrowing the choices available. It's literally bringing you through a bottleneck and out the other side. We call this the singularity. Mm-hmm. And at the other side of that singularity is a world that you can't even conceive of yet, because it will be very different. There will also be great messengers, teachers, what we call an incursion of the infinite soul. That is also being prepared for. Whether it will happen in these 10 years or not, you'd have to ask the infinite soul. What we mean by the infinite soul is the infinite soul comes into various teachers at different parts of a planet's history. And specifically, they will always come when your planet is transitioning from one soul age to another. Mm-hmm. And so the last one that you knew of, there was Krishna. There was the man Jesus, who brought forth the infinite soul, Buddha, Lao Tzu. Isis and Osiris were a dual manifestation. The infinite soul brings the Logos to bear on Earth, meaning it is a direct channeling of source energy into the physical plane. And sometimes it comes as a collective cadre off of the sixth dimension into one person, or series of people, and sometimes it comes off the seventh, the Buddhaic plane, as you would call it. As you could probably figure out, Lao Tzu and Buddha were representatives of the seventh. Krishna, Jesus, being love teaching oriented, came in from the sixth. In your history, these have usually been individuals that have made a great deal of impact on your society, and that their teachings are very similar. When you look at that, the Buddhaic teachings aren't going to talk so much about love, but they will talk about oneness. Whereas the six dimensional teachings will emphasize unconditional love in one way or another. Now, because you're going into a mature soul phase, the visitation of the infinite soul is planning to come into multiple bodies of different sexes, races, nationalities, to break down the things that divide you. The message will very strongly be of unity with each other, of community, and of taking care of the Earth. And there are going to be a pool of vessels for this energy. And so they will rotate. Generally speaking, at least at the time of Christ, the infinite soul could not sustain a physical body very long. In other words, the body would burn out in a certain amount of time very quickly. Which is one of the reasons the man Jesus didn't object too much to the crucifixion, because it was already in there and it was probably going to burn the body out anyway. Might as well go out and have a meaningful death. Did Jesus, or that infinite soul manifestation, know that a religion would be built up about it? Of course it did. Because that was the structure through which you were going to learn more about yourself. And so you have. And though even though these religions have had great abuses, they've had moments of great transcendence as well. And through literally the last 2,000 years of being incarnate in places where you were sitting puja, or you were sitting in a church, or you were chanting on a mountain, all expanded your capacity to hold more light in this incarnation. The human body had to expand its capacity for more light, and you did this through religion, so that was a purpose that it held for you. Old souls, in general, do not seek out orthodox religions in any way. They find that source within. Mature souls, again, would be very unorthodox in their religion. Young souls like to manipulate religion for the purposes of power and wealth. Baby souls get very fundamentalist. That's the way it is, and it's right. America has quite a large population of baby souls in the center of our country. So we looked at in this light, and you can see them doing those lessons. Perhaps it can bring about a little bit more understanding. And really, most of you love babies. They can be very charming, and they can be a pain in the ass as well, as you know. So one of the tasks that older and mature souls have is to take care of the younger souls, especially to protect them from some of the depredations of the wild and rambunctious young souls. We would have to say that there can be improvement in this arena. Always. And of course, the mature souls and the old souls are trying to take care of the baby souls with social programs and everything else, and they won't let them. Baby souls are going, no, 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 we don't want it. And yet, mature old souls are trying politically, economically, all of these different ways to provide that security for them, to have them be cared for. Good case in point. New Zealand, a lot of baby souls. And mature souls, they get along beautifully. The mature souls take care of the baby souls. The baby souls do the functions that they're learning about. And it's very harmonious, and they're not exploited all that much. And so that's a good place where they can be. Baby souls are often given to mature souls for learning. Whereas old souls, we like to teach the young souls because you got to trick them to teach them anything. Mm-hmm. It's more of a challenge. Mm-hmm. Plus, we kind of like their vitality, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like older people in your society, you like to hang around younger people to feel younger. So do old souls kind of get a jazz out of tweaking the young souls a little bit, bringing them along. And young souls also respect seniority. They will tend to listen to old souls if it's presented properly. They won't necessarily do what's suggested, but they will listen. And so you can see that young soul dominance has wrought on this planet what you would call, what we would call, end-stage capitalism. Your economic system is transforming into another one as well. An economy that is more spiral-based than pyramidical. That pyramid is becoming very, very visible as issues of inequality economically is coming up very much to the fore, not only in your country, but in many others throughout Europe and everywhere else. This is destabilizing your entire global financial system. It is getting ready to blow up again. That is almost a certainty during these chaos nodes, is that there will be very serious economic corrections of that system, which is one of the reasons the mature souls and that tend to be progressive in their politics, though not always, are trying to put forth social programs, get that safety net in place before it's needed. Because there is a conscious awareness for every soul on this planet that this is happening. The planet is transforming. And so, in this third year of the chaos node, America will be holding both its conventions and its elections within the chaos node. This not only provides a lot of nervousness, I'm sure, in some of you, but it's a tremendous opportunity. Because by bringing group consciousness to bear, you can navigate the whole to the probability you would like to see. You have a lot more freedom to do that in a chaos node. Now, chaos sounds scary and awful, but actually most of you kind of like being in the chaos node because it gives you more energy to work with. All those collapsing parallels have to go somewhere. Those parallel selves merge into you. Your essence has a greater pool of energy to work with to affect the physical plane. And whereas young souls go out and they dig for treasure and it's the apex of learning through the material world to reflect things, Old souls are energy efficient. Some might say lazy, but we like energy efficient. And so you will bring things to you without looking like you're doing much of anything. Because you have a mastery of the physical plane that allows you energetically to guide things to you and to have you just kind of slide into it. There's more of an ease and grace that can happen where the personality or the ego is not interfering,
mm-hmm.
where false personality isn't distorting that, or, you know, credence is given to societal judgment and norms and you're not fully being yourself. Essence may embarrass you sometimes, but it won't hurt you. It will always bring you to highest probability if you let it. Because all of you, every one of us too, who have been in bodies, we know what it is to learn through suffering. That is, in fact, looking around you, the predominant way in which people choose to learn. We won't argue that it's effective. If it were not, it would not be done. However, we would offer another way. It shows more spiritual mastery to learn through joy. And when we use the word joy, we're not talking about happiness. That's a different thing. Happiness is contingent on conditions. Whether you feel good, whether you have the right relationship, whether you have enough money. Happiness comes and goes. It's very ephemeral. Whereas joy is present no matter what is going through. And joy is simply, at its very root, the acceptance of that which is. Is this not evil? Going with the flow. Because when you do this, when you do not resist that which is coming at you, whatever it is that is painful is going to be over with much more quickly. And yet when it's suffering, why is this happening to me? When you are judging the pain that's happening to you, that's where you get hung up on suffering. That's where you extend your time in there. It's a very easy trap to fall into. Whereas if you just kind of flow, you'll flow around those little rocks and you won't snag on those branches. You'll just flow right around them. And yes, you will experience pain. That is not optional on the physical plane. Physical pain, psychological pain, anguish of every kind is available. But whether you suffer or not is a choice. That is a judgment you place on the pain and saying, it shouldn't be there for some reason or another. But once you go into joy and say, and this too is part of the whole, then you start to have a different experience. Then you start to get through any painful situations much more quickly. Then you find that the obstacles that you face, you just fly right over them effortlessly. You don't get hung up on them at all. There may be obstacles, but you just fly over, under, or around. You flow. You don't resist. You bend. You move. And we like to say that the first step of learning through joy is avoiding the bad stuff in the first place. In other words, when you know it's a bad idea, probably best to avoid it. When you become more skilled at navigating around situations because of your experience that are probably going to lead down a negative path, you're going to have a lot more joy. You're going to be able to have that experience of joy more. You're going to have more happiness in your life additionally to that joy because you won't be taking on the types of things that will take away that happiness. So though you can have joy without happiness, and happiness without joy. We really think both of them together is awesome. When you can manage it. Always. And so, how do you learn through joy? Well, that's very simple. You shift your identity to that of a struggling human ego, here to earn and learn your way out of a karma game. And it's real because you've experienced it as real. That's where most humans are. But if you shift that to a more fifth-dimensional perspective, I'm a multidimensional master here to co-create heaven on earth with other masters, and it's real because I say it is. That sets a completely different context for what you're experiencing. It means new things can come in that you haven't had in your incarnational experience now, because you're living in a time of novelty for sure, and you want to bring in those new things. And also, you will start to identify not as, oh, I'm just this ego personality with a body and a soul attached like luggage. You're going to say, I am spirit moving through this body and field. The tool we have for achieving that kind of perspective is called the transpersonal spiral. And that is available also on www.counselor1.org. All of those tools are there. But the transpersonal spiral is the one that most, if you practice it, it's not one of those, okay, let's do it and it's instantly fixed. It is a constant discipline. the longer and the more powerful you work it, the more powerful the effects are going to be. It will get stronger and stronger, and you will feel stronger and stronger, and you will start to identify as essence. Mm-hmm. When you're identified as essence, essence will avoid trouble. We hear this all the time. We hear this all the time. Oh, well, my essence or my guides must have wanted me to have this awful experience so I would learn something. Well, no, actually not. Now, there are things that happen on this earth that you didn't necessarily bring upon yourself. You live in a toxic environment, and that can cause your body to be affected in various ways. Cancers, autoimmune diseases, things of that nature. While it doesn't assist you to resist that situation, it was also not inflicted by your guides or essence for the purpose of learning. Your guides and essence doesn't have to do that, because life itself will give you plenty of those opportunities. It's in how you respond to that where the learning comes from. And if you let essence come through, it's going to lead you around the riots. It's going to lead you around the instability. It's going to have you make the decision that's going to have you feel safe and more secure and happy. More than that, your sense of security will derive from your essence and nothing else. No external factor, no bank account, no job, no other person, no outside leader. Your power will come from within. Your sense of security will come from within, because when you put your sense of security on those types of things, it is subject to the presence or absence of those things. But when you put your sense of identity to essence, essence works the tools of whatever's available and creates more of it. All right, so the stock market crashed and I lost this money. Well, there's more coming in over here, so you don't have to be hung up on that necessarily. Be upset about it for a little bit, and then, okay, now what next? We got to open the space and bring some more things in. Because if you put your sense of security in money, you're going to have a rocky ride the next few years. But don't worry, everyone's going to be in the same boat. That's what it's going to take, because that's how choices made by the current collective in electing their leaders too, because all bear responsibility for the leaders they elect. The leaders aren't some aliens that came in and took over despite what certain beings are saying out there. They are of you. They are part of your population. And so if you don't like what they're doing, it behooves all of you who don't like what they're doing to change that. There are various ways to do it societally, but the best way to start doing that is energetically. First of all, by not seeing them as separate, or the enemy, or bad or evil or dumb. But that, remember, you are all Republican, baby soul, fundamentalists at one point or another, or the equivalent at one point. You did your own holy rolling in your day. That's why you look at it now and go, oh yeah, that doesn't work. Because you've already had to pay the karma back from that. So you already think, no, I don't really like that. Anything that you're particularly repelled by probably means you have karma there that you would resolve for that. Like somebody really hates stealing, well, probably they had some karmic payback for that or something. So what you resist, of course, also you get more of. And so resistance really is futile. Assimilation really is the only way. Only it's not the poor, it's by spirit. And if you walk as channels of spirit in this world, don't underestimate the kind of change that you can create. And we want to give you a tool for that today, because this year is the year of the fuchsia ray. The fuchsia ray comes from the sixth dimension. The fuchsia ray is the ray of the Christ Oversoul. The fuchsia ray is the ray of unity. Think you could use that this year? Good timing, huh? Last year we talked a lot about the turquoise ray because people were having a hard time absorbing all the energy from the different parallels into themselves. They were going into fits at the beginning part of last year because that was the first full chaos node that they had endured. And it's like, how do I take all this energy? So turquoise comes in from the seventh, and it's the ray of the Buddha, and it's the ray of go with the flow. Is this not transpersonal? It stands on the knife edge between blue and green, which is the heart and the mind. Encompasses both. It's a very powerful healing ray, and we use it often to relieve inflammation in people when they're feeling physical inflammation and other things. It moves slow like honey. And so you can call on the turquoise ray multiple ways. You don't create it, so you have to request it. If your fields are unified, you'll be able to receive more of it. And you can either call in the standard way that many of you may have been taught of having the ray come in through the crown chakra, through your body, and then out through your fields. That is one way. There's also what we call essence breath, which is basically yogic breathing, but you substitute essence, and essence comes in as a certain ray. So in other words, you breathe in, hold, exhale. And the breathing in, you breathe essence into every cell of your body. On the hold, you lock it in. On the exhale, you breathe essence into every part of your field. And if you see essence as coming in as the color turquoise, that's another way to get that to you, or fuchsia, or any ray, or combine them, because they all work well together. You just throw a bunch of them together and have a cocktail, bring it all in at once. Fuchsia is slow moving, just like turquoise. And fuchsia says, we're one. Fuchsia unifies rather than divides. Fuchsia finds the points more energy efficient, more streamlined. Big bodies couldn't survive during the climate change. A certain evolutionary track of this planet has humans standing about that tall because they take up less energy. Could be half hobbits even. So you are part of that life, and you too are evolving physically as well as spiritually. That physical evolution and those mutations are happening now, and some of them with the aid of all of the different chemicals and radiation you're bathing yourselves in. This is definitely having a factor. Not always for what you would consider the good or positive, but also some of them are driving certain mutations that are necessary. So, turquoise is there for the flow. Turquoise is there for transpersonal. But when you add it to the fuchsia, then you're inviting others to join you in there. You're saying, let's do this, let's be one. Let's do this, let's be one. Anybody who's giving you that message, somebody to listen to, somebody to align with,
5 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a third method of bringing energy in, and we call it the walking in grace technique on the website, where you bring up the ray from the subatomic, suffuse your body with it, and then have it go out of your skin and into your fields. Mm-hmm. We like this because it literally saturates you with the ray. It takes a little more concentration, a little more time to do it than to just call it down and then you can go on about your business. It's a little more concentration, but the experience is much more saturated. So if each of you were to say, whenever you go out in public, unify your fields and fill your fields with turquoise and fuchsia, you would do a great deal towards promoting unity on this planet, because everyone you touched would touch, and kind of it spreads. Even if they can't maintain it the same way you can, it opens that door for a moment. It allows them to share it with their friends, with their loved ones. It allows you to come together in a collective purpose without agreeing once on how to get there. This is what we're doing. This is what we're transforming. This is how we're going to do it. By being one. By finding the points that we have in common that we all want. That is how you will determine how to go through. Now, you're only in the third year of this chaos node cycle, and you haven't even started the third chaos node yet. That's starting in June. And you can already imagine the last couple of years of changes. It's going to accelerate. It's kind of like being on that roller coaster. You're going up, going up, going up. You're at the crest, and now you're going, oh no! But you're on the roller coaster, so you're kind of committed. Buy the ticket, take the ride, right? You all decided to be here at this time, and Noah, and there was every reason. Why do you think so many people are on the planet right now? Nobody wants to miss this. Everybody wants to be part of this. Everybody wants to be part of this. When you, it used to be for old souls, once you died, you would spend a little time hanging on the astral. You'd be pretty leisurely about coming back. Younger souls tend to come back pretty quick, but older souls chill a little bit. Not anymore. You die, you're reincarnating. So whenever anybody says to you, I just want to get out of here, well, you're just becoming right back. Because there's work to do. Those of you who are playing the metagame, meaning that you have eight or more previous grand cycles, have work to do here, planetary service work. And if groups of you like this can get together, unify your fields, and then just beam fuchsia in certain parts of the planet, certain like buildings that represent institutions, say, the government, the capital building, overseas in the Middle East where there's so much disruption and pain. The Middle East holds the wounded inner child of your planet, and it needs healing. Sending that energy there. That can do a lot more work than you know. And we really thank you for your service here. because none of this would be happening without you, and none of the transformation could happen without you either. How could you transform if it wasn't something you wanted to change? So all the things that you don't like and that you want to change, they're there to push you to change. It's all perfect, really. From our perspective, it's all perfect. None of you have cosmically messed up in any way. This is all unfolding the way it should, the results of choice, and then you make better choices. We evolve from the level of our choices always. And as older souls, you're going to tend to make better choices, but not always. You're still learning here too. And to be kind to yourself too, to forgive yourself too, is going to open up that forgiveness to others. And holding that fuchsia ray, which is the ray of the Christ Oversoul, is going to promote that kind of love, that agape, and that forgiveness. Thank you for your service. We're still in the merge, so if you guys have questions.